All right, and we're back for another episode of Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from the Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Pop Culture Cosmos, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows, and if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, do whatever you can to support us here at Inside Sports Fantasy Football, the Pop Culture Cosmos, where we just dropped a new episode this past Monday, and also Lakers Fast Break. Not only will we have an NBA Finals preview for waiting for you right there on the channel, but I've got a great conversation with number one best-selling sports biographer Jeff Perlman, who's got a great new book on the early 2000s dynasty known as the Los Angeles Lakers when they had their three-peat. So he not only covers before, during, and after that period of time. So it's a great book, and I had an awesome conversation. So please check that out on the Lakers Fast Break channel. But that's not all. My co-host in crime, Chris Sardieri, the man in question when it comes to everything that you can talk to him about at Chris L Sports on Twitter. Chris, I know you've got Domination on the mind when it comes to your podcast as well.
Yeah, Domination Sports Nation. You can follow us on Instagram via that handle, all one word. Do the show with my son, Dom. And this week, we've got a lot to talk about. Like you said, the NBA Finals, MLB playoffs started Tuesday evening, and going to have a almost March Madness type scenario on Wednesday with 8 baseball games in one day. We've never seen that before. And then, of course, always the NFL to talk about. So, again, appreciate the feedback. We're also on the Anchor Network, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, you name it.
Absolutely. Wherever you get your podcasts, it is Domination Sports Nation. He does a great job with his son. Still trying to negotiate with his agent on trying to get him involved in one of our shows coming up here in the not too distant future, or even on the Lakers Fast Break. I'd love to hear his thoughts on the NBA Finals. So hopefully I can go ahead and again, meet with his agent, aka Chris right here, to see what we can do to get him aboard on one of our shows.
All right. Yeah. He said he's interested on the fantasy show. Just say the word. But now that you're throwing the NBA pod out there, I think the ball's really swung in his court. He's got some leverage here. You're really serious about this. So, well, we'll talk. Maybe we'll have a lunch meeting or something on Zoom. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan indeed, my friend. But I know if he's up to slate, the Mrs. Agent might have something to say about that.
Yeah, agreed. Luckily, with his Zoom learning, there are certain days where he can get up a little later. But if you you say the word and we arrange the time, I think we can do this. And I'll hand these headphones over to him and let him take my seat for a change.
There you go, indeed. But I want to go ahead and break down everything that's going on right now in the world of fantasy football and the NFL. First big topic we need to talk about is not what happened this past weekend, because there was no real major injuries or anything that really shifted the balance for fantasy football owners out there. But we'll talk and break down some of the things I'm noticing as far as trends and players are concerned coming up in a few minutes. I want to talk about what's coming up in the future. The first thing we've got to talk about is the scheduling issues that may play havoc upon fantasy owners out there. So they have to keep on what's going on with when it comes to concerns the Tennessee Titans and everything relating around it and the team that they played and everything that's going on as far as when the possible date may be. So I want to hear your thoughts on what's going on. Can you give everybody an update on the situation right now between the Titans and their coronavirus issue?
Yeah, a number of Titans players and coaches came down, tested positive, and these were not false positives. Apparently, they tested multiple times. They've had to close down the team's facilities. The Vikings, a team they played this past Sunday, did the same as a precaution. So essentially, while I don't know if I'd call it an outbreak at this point by NFL standards, maybe it is, because as I was daydreaming Sunday afternoon, you know, the league's had a lot of good luck with this so far, with the lack of positive tests compared to other sports. It's almost NBA-esque. So remains to be seen. I don't think the NFL has given any indications that they will cancel the Titans next game, but that begs a question. All right, if there's smoke here, is there fire someone else? And how will the NFL handle it? You look in MLB, the Marlins missed a bunch of games at the beginning of the season and still managed to back in and get into the playoffs, even though they didn't play the full slate of games. Is that what's going to happen, or are we going to have to push the Super Bowl back? So I think those are the big questions there. And then if you're a fantasy owner, look, we've been hammering this home since the summer, Gerald. You've got to have depth at every position. If your quarterback goes down, even your kicker, you've got to be prepared to pop someone in. So waivers are going to be even more important. And I think you have to take the approach that, maybe this guy's not getting touches. Well, you need to treat it like anyone can go down with an injury or an illness at any time. That's what we've seen here in the first few weeks of the season. So don't be afraid to stash, build that depth on the bench. The NFL rosters have expanded to a taxi squad of sorts, and you need to try to do the same with your available bench spots.
Monday or Tuesday, the league is trying to force that game to happen, the Titans' next game to happen by no later than Tuesday. But you and I both know the virus may have a different answer on that.
Absolutely. And I think here we're just on a day-by-day basis, seeing what the numbers do, seeing where it spread to. Given HIPAA laws in this country, I'm sure they don't want the, unless the players agree to this, to reveal their identities. I mean, we don't know who it is at this point. At least I haven't seen anything, and I don't really delve in the social media speculation out there. But what if it, God forbid, it was a Tannehill or a Derrick Henry? Then what do you do?
Exactly. So it could be a problem going forward for fantasy football owners out there. So be aware of what's going on with the situation going on with the Tennessee Titans, but also relating to that, the Minnesota Vikings, who they played this past weekend. We could be seeing a possible situation coming up from them in the not too distant future, because you're talking about possibly even up to a 2-week period of time where they could get infected, they could come down with symptoms, and it could wreak havoc upon their schedule later on.
Absolutely. And look, we've seen something similar happen in the past, but these are one-off events. Hurricanes in Florida, wildfires in California, where games either needed to be moved or rescheduled. But something like this, it could be on a mass scale. And we're talking about like where the league might even get shut down, or certain teams may be shut down for a period of time. So who knows? Here we go again. You know, plus with the a lot of the doctors saying we could see a spike here as a regular flu season approaches. Anything's a game at this point, I fear, unfortunately.
That is correct, Amundo, indeed. Once again, I'm speaking to my good friend, my co-host in crime here at Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Chris Artieri from Inside Sports. If you want to have, if you want to get a hold of him, you have a question or anything at all, at Chris L Sports on Twitter or Chris Artieri on LinkedIn. We're at isfantasyfootball@yahoo.com or Inside Sports FF on Twitter. My friend, there's still much more to talk about when it comes to fantasy football here today. I want to ask you real quick, Christian McCaffrey, down for the count with his ankle injury. Saquon Barkley, that's me groaning because of the fact that he was on my team. He was my pick in the first round. He's gone down for the entire season with an ACL injury. I want to ask your opinion, because I know the answer, at least statistically so far. Who is the best running back right now in the National Football League for fantasy owners?
Well, through week three, it's Alvin Kamara. As we've seen, he's reverting to his form from a few years ago, where not only can he run the ball, he's a threat out of the backfield to catch passes too. I mean, the tackles he broke in the hurdle against the Packers were just impressive Sunday night. I'm going to throw a name out there who, even before you posed this question to me, I thought about as I was watching that game on Sunday. Aaron Jones from the Packers, I feel like he's quietly put up big numbers, at least in my leagues. He's the second highest scoring running back, and the guy's a beast. And I think, like with you correctly predicted, props to you. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's having a monster year to prove the critics wrong and the naysayers. That's only benefited Jones even more. You know, they lose Devontae Adams, and that offense still doesn't miss a beat. And I think he sets up a lot of things for Rodgers conversely. Again, long as these guys stay healthy, I think they're the two that can lead you down the stretch while we have this lack of Barkley and McCaffrey out for what it looks like at least 6 weeks. Those are the two that get my vote.
Yeah, boy, if you got Aaron Jones on the cheap, more power to you, because he is the second leading running back right now in fantasy football. A little behind Kamara, but that poses the question. And also part of it is based off of what we're going to talk about later in the broadcast. But do you see Alvin Kamara staying at such a high level? Because right now he is the top fantasy performer, period, of anyone. Do you see it? Well, do you see it continuing for the entire season?
I don't know about the top period. You look at what our friend Patrick Mahomes did last night, and it looks like he and that Chiefs offense are just getting revved up. But I do think from a running back perspective, he very well could. And, you know, with Michael Thomas banged up with the Saints, Kamara's only benefited from that. When you think about it, even back, if Thomas really helped, I think Breeze has really been detracted by that more than Kamara. But Thomas does come back, I think that even you can't just key on Kamara anymore. That might only expand his touches and his options too as the season goes on. And I think the same thing with Jones. I mean, I think they've got enough depth at wide receiver in Green Bay that I think he'll continue his ascent throughout the season. Do I think Kamara will keep this pace? Likely not, but we saw a few years ago when he gets touches, he's involved in the offense. He's at a minimum a top three running back.
Absolutely. So I see, like you do, a continued progression for Alvin Kamara going forward as the top fantasy option. If you're able to go ahead and target him in a trade, you better be willing to give up a nice big package because he is playing at an elite level right now, and I expect it to go and continue moving forward. One of the things I wanted to ask you real quick also as well in regards to quarterbacks, because quarterbacks right now, because of the lack of running backs at an elite level and wide receivers at an elite level right now, a little bit down from what I was expecting, unfortunately, we're seeing a number of quarterbacks pick up the slack, which is kind of disappointing me because I've got a few quarterbacks still on my roster I've been trying to unload. But I want to ask you this. Josh Allen and Kyler Murray are right now statistically two of the top five quarterbacks in fantasy football. Can that continue? Will it continue going forward for fantasy owners? I have Kyler Murray on my team, so he's been very good, but he's also been very prone to interceptions.
Yeah, he has. I think those two can continue. And look, we hit on this during the offseason. We thought this is the year those two could potentially break out into that top 10 caliber. And so far they've done so. These guys run. They get running touchdowns, whether they're dynamic in the Kyler Murray variety or Allen, where he's not afraid to go die for the end zone. Big guy, big body. Those are 6 points. You got to remember that. Lot more than a passing touchdown. So they're almost in a respect like a Kamara, dual threat to score. So I think that continues, especially given the way the Bills have been playing at 3-0, really epic win against the Rams this past Sunday. Some will argue aided by a controversial pass interference call, but I like what I see. And as far as I can tell with what those guys are doing, the way the offenses have been devised around him. And I think the key point is the additions they got on offense. Stephon Diggs with the Bills, DeAndre Hopkins with the Cardinals. As you can see, it's paying dividends for both those quarterbacks. So I say stay the course.
Absolutely. Although I am a little bit concerned as a guy who has him starting, even though he's getting you 25, 30 points a game as far as fantasy, it's still concerning when he has 4 passing touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So to me, I'm kind of... but he is making it up for because, like you said, he is running a lot of touchdowns in right now.
Yeah, and I think Cliff Kingsbury is, I guess, the youngest or latest version of Bruce Arians. He's kind of a quarterback whisperer. I think he'll help Murray get on track. By no means do I think we're looking down the barrel of a potential Jameis Winston 30 interception season.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to seeing more great things. Josh Allen right now is lighting it up and on a team that could very well have Super Bowl aspirations. It could be something where he could be riding it out for a nice season for fantasy football owners. And for Kyler Murray, as long as he keeps running, it's going to offset the interceptions that he's throwing. So it looks like it's something you want to go ahead and stay the course with, because he both, actually for that matter, are right now to the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. But my friend, there's still more to talk about on today's program. I want to ask you real quick, wide receivers, because of the fact that we are so many running backs right now have been injured and we're left with not as large of a contingent of quality upper echelon running backs that are out there in fantasy football, I did want to ask you, are wide receivers now as important as the running back position right now, because we see a lot of wide receivers now picking up the slack, even though they even have had some injuries as well.
Absolutely. We kind of hit on this last week, especially if you're playing in a PPR or half point PPR. Most weeks you're going to pop a wide receiver into your flex position. And that's a function of the fact that they get receptions. And I think, too, the other kind of forgotten scenario is that a lot of these offenses like running the jet sweep. And you'll see a guy like, for instance, Robert Woods with the Rams will get carries on that play. You know, it's not just the speedsters that are getting the ball flipped on reverse. It's becoming a more routine play in the NFL. The other thing too is I feel as though at least this year, wide receivers haven't been as injury prone as running backs. There was another ACL tear that affected a running back this past week, Tariq Cohen with the Bears. While he's not the number one, you know, I had him in one league. He's a good serviceable backup play here and there, and he's gone now. So I do feel too, there's also a lot more depth at wide receiver. Two rookies I've had my eye on waivers this week, Justin Jefferson with the Redskins, Trey Higgins with the Bengals are clearly starting to get targets. You and I were on the Russell Gage bandwagon last week. Of course, he got hurt during that game, but that might be someone that took, Julio Jones is still banged up. Keep an eye on him. I don't know how severe Gage's will be, but I think too, like, look at the Lions. We have Kenny Golladay in one league, and I felt like he had a touchdown. He made a lot of difference in the way that offense and Matthew Stafford looked. So you can find a guy, even if he's a three receiver, a real deep sleeper out there that kind of emerged this week that I've been reading about, and he finally produced. Speaking of Kyler Murray, the great Andy Isabella with the Cardinals, two touchdowns. So it's guys like that. You know, they may not be the first or second option, but in a lot of these three and four wide receiver sets, they're going to get targets and get you a touchdown.
That they are, my friend. So the wide receiver position is now becoming more important than ever because the depth of the running backs that are effective right now in fantasy football are becoming less and less and less. So if anybody out there is looking to make trades, it's probably going to be easier to shoot for wide receivers in multiple trade packages than it is running backs at this point in time.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, we did one this week. My general manager, Dom, threw it out there. You know, we, like a lot of people, are bearish on Carson Wentz, and Zach Ertz is paying the price. And we figure, you know, we need to get a little bit of wide receiver depth as Adams has gotten hurt and bye weeks are coming up. And let me know what you think of this one. Just went through today. We dealt Ertz for Tyler Boyd of the Bengals straight up. And I think we'll find out in waivers whether we get Jimmy Graham or Eric Ebron. But all in all, what do you think big picture of that deal, trading for wide receiver depth?
I'd like it. Because right now it's hard to be effective at any other position. When it talked about running backs at lack of depth, quarterbacks seems to be hit and miss. The quarterbacks that you're thinking were really going to be rocking this year have not made it. Some of the quarterbacks that have surprised us out there are doing well. I mean, that happens each and every year, but yeah, going for wide receiver depth, that's a pretty smart move.
Thank you. As long as I got your seal of approval, I can stop being neurotic about this deal.
There you go. There you go. Well, we'll find out what we thought Russell Gage was going to do well, and look what happened there.
You know what? I chalked that up to the Falcons, but that's another story for a 30 for 30 documentary, I think.
Yep. But it could be worse, my friend. You could have picked the Jets this weekend to cover the spread. And unfortunately, I did. And my picks were in the toilet this week. So you are currently ahead when it comes to our Pick'em Challenge. Each and every week, we go ahead on Saturdays. We shout it out there what Chris and I are going ahead and doing on three different games and the spread each and every weekend. If you get a chance, you want to go ahead and be part of it, Inside Sports Fantasy Football on Facebook, let us know, give us a shout out, or isfantasyfootballyahoo.com or Inside Sports FF on Twitter, or at Chris L Sports on Twitter. Any one of those outlets, just shout out three teams you'd like covering the spread or not covering the spread. Just let us know. We'll go ahead and get you involved in the Pick'em Challenge. But before we go ahead on Saturday and mention what those teams are for us, the three teams that we're going to pick as part of our Pick'em Challenge, I will give in everyone an update. You are leading now 7-2 overall. You had a nice 2-1 weekend. It's just basically a really solid weekend for you. So again, 7-2, not too shabby. Me, the big donut, 0-3. My picks did not come in. I'm not going to complain. It wasn't that like the last. I didn't get a bad beat or anything. Just didn't get it done.
Yeah, and you know, Gerald, shame on me for picking the Giants 2 weeks in a row. I definitely learned my lesson there. I would have been the opposite with the donut on the losing end. But take heart. We both fell on the sword with our New York football team picks, and we learned.
Now, well, we'll learn now because the Jets look like, as you and I were talking about before we went on the program today, the Jets look like the absolute worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, the tank for Trevor signs, if there were to be any fans in the crowd at MetLife, would be out in full force this weekend, or Thursday night, actually.
Yeah, so it's something that we're going to have to go ahead and just deal with continuously from this point forward when it comes to the Jets, because they look bad. Sam Darnold, it's not an issue of not getting the coverage anymore or not getting, you know, the offensive line or anything like that. He is just not looking good at all.
No, too many INTs in the red zone, pick sixes. It's ugly.
It is ugly indeed. But before we head on out and before I hit up Chris with the last topic of the day, woof, 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 it's time to go to the doghouse. Take it away, Chris.
Gerald, the doghouse has been atrocious, full disclosure.
Yeah, 0-3 now. Poop there you got to clean up, man. It's stinking.
There's a dog, all right. And I guess that's what I get for picking the Cowboys. I thought I had a shot there when they went up late, but I failed to remember that as bad as the Seahawks defense is, apparently the Cowboys is worse. So scan through the lines this week, and not a heck of a lot out there for you underdog players like yours truly. There are a couple things that stuck out. Thought about the Vikings, but then given this kind of COVID scare that happened today, I'm not sure what to do there, if the line would move, if God forbid anything happened to any of their players getting sick. So going to go with the old axiom. You always like to take points at the home, at home. And I saw the Lions are getting 4.5 in Detroit. They're not a great team. I thought it was an impressive comeback win against the Cardinals, because I do believe in them, and I think they could be a playoff contender this year. And like I said, Stafford looks much better with Galladay and now Adrian Peterson getting the ball. But I feel like that's a lot of points to get against a struggling, banged-up Saints team that has really shown me nothing the past 2 weeks. And you know, short of beating up on Tom Brady in the first game of the season, haven't seen a heck of a lot out of them. So I'm going to suck it up, another rough team to bet on, but I do feel it's a lot of points to get at home for a team that may be turning things around. Who knows? But it's 4.5. If they lose by 4, again, you've covered that hook is always key when you're wagering, you know, for entertainment purposes, of course. But,
of course.
You know, in a doghouse full of dog crap picks, I guess the Lions are an appropriate one for week 4.
Good thing I live in Vegas, where it doesn't have to be just for entertainment purposes.
Exactly.
Exactly, my friend. So check out our thoughts this weekend on the Pick'em Challenge if you want to go ahead and see what we're going to do as far as the 3 games that we're going to pick. Check it out this weekend at Inside Sports Fantasy Football on Facebook.
We'll be right back with more fantasy football. For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
That is by far my favorite, because it's also character driven and the stakes are high and there's much more of a mystery and intrigue to it.
A game like Wolfenstein, which people are saying are one of the most socially important video games of the past 10 years.
Catch our shows on radio worldwide 7 days a week or at any time on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on over 30 more podcast outlets.
But before we head on out, my friend, I want to hit you up with this. We all wondered when Father Time was going to go ahead and knock on the door when it came to some of the older quarterbacks in the league. And although even Aaron Rodgers, who we're now got to consider slightly on the older side, he is still performing at an extremely high level. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Philip Rivers. I don't know, man. I mean, we've talked about Drew Brees just a little bit when it concerns the New Orleans Saints and, of course, the injury problems with Michael Thomas and not having him out. Obviously got to be a big hit, but I'm just not seeing the arm strength from him when it comes to his other receivers. Tom Brady had a great game. 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in week 3. could be a turnaround for him. But before I go ahead and turn over to you, there's Philip Rivers, who just not getting it done.
Yeah, I thought last year Philip Rivers was done. I don't see how he's going to turn around in Indy. It's not like he's got some stellar offense around him or even the weapons that a Tom Brady now has in Tampa. So right there, I think he's a goner. I really would not pick him in a fantasy league unless every other quarterback option other than Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones are out there. But that's by your own risk right there. With Breeze, I think he's reaching the end of the line. I do think he misses Thomas, like we said, but like you hit on it, the arm strength, even the decisions too. I don't know if it's a function of he still thinks he's got the arm strength. He still thinks he could thread the needle, but he doesn't look like the same quarterback. And part of me wonders too, does he have his eye on his next job? You know, supposedly he's going to succeed Chris Collinsworth in the booth at some point. As for Brady, I think there's fantasy value there just because, you know, he's going to play the Carolinas of the world, the Atlantas, the Denvers, as we saw this past week. And with Mike Evans and Godwin and now Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones in the backfield, I think he's got the ability to put up points. I don't think he's an every week start, but I don't think he'd give up on him either. And I think he's a serviceable starter in deeper leagues. So whether you want to play the matchup or plug him in there every week, I think you'll do all right. I'm not ready to wave the white flag on him yet. You got to take into account he's new coach. He's never had another coach other than Belichick and then McDaniel for a majority of his career. And then new surroundings too, new players you haven't practiced with during a pandemic. So I think as the season goes on, you'll see him be a little more fluid. Bigger picture, I'm wondering when Gronk will get into the mix. What do you think about that?
That might be the harder issue because being out of football for like that, and really, he wasn't planning on coming back had Tom Brady stayed with New England. But once they went out to Tampa, he changed his tune. I want to ask you this. I still think Tom Brady can, like you said, especially with a weak schedule, be a number one fantasy football option for people. He obviously proved it this past weekend, at least in the short term, with 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Just a great performance and almost 300 yards. Can Drew Brees and Tom Brady both be viable fantasy football number one quarterbacks going forward? Because it's clear that Philip Rivers can't.
I think they can. Will they? I don't know. I think both of them you need to proceed with caution at times, depending on, again, the matchups and how they're looking the week before and who they're gelling with and whatnot. And I think that's the main issue with Breeze. However, like we said, given this unusual time we're living in, I think these are both guys worth having on your team because should your quarterback get hurt, knocked out for the year, test positive for COVID, they're absolutely better than the alternatives to plug in from what I'm seeing out there on the waiver wire. I know there are a lot of Gardner Minshew fans out there, and there are weeks he looks great and there are weeks he looks atrocious. So one thing I'll say with Brady and Breeze is you're going to get a little more consistency and evenness, as it were, with them. So, by all means, they're good to have on your team. I just wouldn't do the old plug and play like you would 5 years ago.
Well, there you have it. Some great advice indeed. Once again, it is Chris Sardieri at Chris L Sports on Twitter. Give him a shout out if you're on Twitter at Chris L Sports. I want to go ahead and also tell you everyone out there, again, if you have any questions for us, at Inside Sports FF on Twitter and isfantasyfootball@yahoo.com. Plus, if you can go ahead and catch Domination Sports Nation, that's Domination Sports Nation anywhere you get your podcasts, Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, and Game Source, wherever you can get your podcasts as well. It is truly appreciated. Well, my friend, it's going to be some very interesting watching, especially with the Titan situation coming up this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Any last thoughts on the way out?
Yeah, we've talked enough football, Gerald. I spoke with you off air about this. I encourage everyone to check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast with Jeff Perlman. I've always been a fan of his writing. I love listening to his interviews. I've heard him on a few other shows in the past week. I'm not going to mention their names, but I will say Gerald's interview with him was excellent. It was a coup getting him. It wasn't your standard run-of-the-mill, you know, 8 to 10 minute radio appearance that they make it sound like it's some long form Larry King type interview. I mean, Gerald got the job done. I really enjoyed it. There were things I learned I just always remember Cedric Sabalas as the Club Zed nickname, but the Chise one had me laughing out loud. I won't spoil it for you, but that right there made me laugh. So I just want to throw some props out to you. Great job. He's a New York Times bestselling author. So great job by you getting an excellent guest. And if you're a basketball fan, definitely worth a download and a listen.
Absolutely. It was a great conversation, about a half hour. Actually, it was actually close to 40 minutes. Cedric Sabalas, great score. Cal State Fullerton, if I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, so yeah, he was funny. He had that story. Got to listen to it in detail. Yeah, it's so funny because he brings up so many different things. He asked me questions. I just enjoyed the interview, really just nonstop. He was just a great man to talk to, and he took the time to speak to me, and I'm very indebted to him for doing so, and I wish him great success. And like you said, he has a ton of sports books, whether it's Walter Payton, whether it's the USFL, whether it's Roger Clemens, whether it's baseball, football, or basketball. He has a ton of books that he's already put out there on biographies. So if you get a chance, check out his site, jeffperlman.com. Not only will it have links to all those books that he has, but also his latest, the Three Ring Circus book as well, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So it has all the links right there for you, jeffperlman.com. Well, thank you, my friend. I'm blushing already at your kind words as far as the interview this weekend. It was a lot of fun.
The truth hurts, and there's also a great Tampa Bay Buccaneers reference and talk of old school players that made me yearn for my childhood.
Absolutely. Well, you know, he had the Yuccaneers hat on. I had to say something. As he said, the creamsicles, of course,
yeah.
What I remember yeah. as well. So, had that. That just totally caught me off guard, so we had to start the show with that. But, yeah, it's a great conversation indeed. Just like with you, my friend, a great conversation.
Oh, thank you.
Each and every time out, and I look forward to going ahead and evening up the weekend series for you. Oh, before we head on out, got one last comment for you. KLS Talks has trade Cook, Andrews, Diggs for Mahomes, Jacobs, and Higbee. Or Cook, Andrews, Diggs, Singletary for Mahomes, Jacobs, Parker, Higbee. I'm going to put this on your DM, man. I don't know if you get, actually, I don't know if I can copy that, but there you go. It's right there for you.
Okay.
So that's I was going to say, ask if you, we could take a quiz coming up later on the program after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Play the final Jeopardy music.
Exactly.
So is he, I take it, if you can get Mahomes, and I'm guessing that's what you're looking to do with this deal here, you're dealing for Mahomes. I think that's great. Kind of one of the unsung players in here is Higbee.
Yes.
He'll kind of be volatile from week to week, but we've seen McVay's not afraid to have Goff throw to the tight end. I think he's got some value there. With Devin Singletary, as a Zach Moss owner, I know he was hurt last week. I feel as though down the season he might be losing some touches. So if you're looking to deal him, I'm all for that. If you could pull this off, that's a mega deal of like epic fantasy proportions. But we've gotten two trade offers for Mahomes so far this year, and we've shot them both down. So if you can pull it off, more credit to you. Even though you're giving up, I think you're giving up guys that are kind of at their high right now, including Diggs. I know he's doing great right now, but I don't think he's going to continue to put this up week to week as defenses catch up to him. So I say they're both worth a shot. Use your discretion. I don't want to tell you one way or the other, but I think either of those are late in enough with bait, as it were, to potentially get someone who's desperate, might need some depth on their team or have some injury issues, to part with a Mahomes. So props to you if you can get it. Good luck.
Absolutely. Any chance you can get Mahomes, that is definitely worth it. Buy low, sell high. That's for sure. But again, if you have any questions, KLS Talks or anyone out there in regards to what we're doing at Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Chris Sardieri is the main man indeed, at Chris L Sports on Twitter. That's at Chris L Sports on Twitter. We're at Inside Sports FF on Twitter. That's at Inside Sports FF on Twitter, or isfantasyfootball@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, it's been great talking to you. Thanks so much, KLS Talks, for watching. Great question. That was awesome. If you can get Mahomes, you've got your League One, my friend. But I'll tell you what, it's been so great talking to you. Just cannot thank you enough for being on the show today. and looking forward to our conversation right here next week at Inside Sports Fantasy Football.